watch film and TV.
Or used to.
Yeah, not anymore. Heavy.
Welcome to another installment of Heavy Eyes, here where we give you that super in-depth review of whatever we watching. This week, we're going to be talking about a oldie but goodie, question mark? Guess you're going to have to listen to find out. But we're going to be reviewing Smile, the horror movie from last year. Now, if you listen to the most recent episode of 30 Year Old Kids.
Y'all don't know nothing about Smile by Pharrell.
Okay. If you listen to the new episode of 30 Year Old Kids, we kind of gave you a little brief intro or our thoughts there. But let's go ahead and kick it off. I know you recently just watched this for the first time. So, did this movie make you want to smile? Did it make you want to turn this on?
Let's see. What did I think about this movie? I thought it was okay. I didn't hate it. I had a bad taste in my mouth because I watched this movie after I watched Don't Worry, Darling, the movie I can say I didn't like.
With confidence, with a little bit of bass in your voice.
This movie was good. It wasn't what I expected. It wasn't like what the trailer kind of portrayed. And it was more, it wasn't like just a typical slasher movie or typical her being haunted per se. It was more in the veins of a It Follows, Ring type of movie.
Yeah, this was a mental horror movie.
Yeah,
which was a I guess like you said like a surprise or I guess a I don't know if surprise is the word I was looking for, but I just wasn't expecting it to go down that way completely in the way that it did. But I love this movie. Like, this is probably one of my favorite more recent horror movies, and I gotta watch it a couple more times, but I'm almost confident that it will go down as probably one of my favorite horror movies, or just personal favorites of all time, which I was shocked to say, because going into it, didn't think it was gonna be anything but just maybe a decent horror movie with an interesting premise. But I loved it, and I just want to start at the beginning, because the beginning is what set the pathway for me loving this movie, and that is like how we see the main character when she interacts with the person who is first possessed by this little smiling freakish demon that then passes it on to her, and that's how we kind of get the movie going. But want to get your thoughts on that scene, but before I do that, want to share why I loved it so much, and that is because I thought it showed everything that we see after that just in that scene. So it kind of encompasses and shows you what to expect that this next character is going to go through by giving you a quick little synopsis or summation from this character's point of view of everything that she's been experiencing and how everybody's been treating her and how we get to see it from the outside looking in. You always hear like, what was I listening to recently? They was talking about how like these fiends or druggies out on the street always be telling you, yo, I used to do all this back in the day. And you'd be looking at them like, you crazy. You ain't never did all that. You never had all that money. You ain't never lived that life that you was talking about. But then you watch shows like Snowfall and you see how their fall from grace. You see these type of things play out. You're like, oh, maybe it is possible for people to get put in these precarious positions. So then you're watching this like, I don't believe this girl really saying all this stuff, but whatever. And then you see the demonic assassination or murder or whatever in front of this main character, which then passes it on to this main character. And then you start to see everything that that first girl was saying play out with this new girl. But we get to see it just play out over movie time leading all the way up into the end. So that's why I thought, that's why I loved it so much, because I just thought it painted that great picture of what we're going to see. It helped build that tense environment that I felt that we had through the rest of the movie, and it just really just encompasses the whole vibe and what's to come from the movie just in that scene. But that's just me. But what were your thoughts just from the beginning of the movie with that opening little number, little jazzy little razzmatazz?
It kept me got me interested in the movie to see where it was going and to find out why that was happening. But then you're quickly shown Jesse T. Usher walking to the screen as her fiance, and then it'd be like, that good thing I just saw.
He is drowning it out with his Jesse T. Usher.
Nah, I like Jesse T. Usher, but I don't like Jesse T. Usher and Sosie Bacon together.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know if I like Jesse T. Usher.
Let me say I like The Boys.
Yeah, I like The Boys. And he is good as A-Train in The Boys. But I think of when I think of Jesse T. Usher, I think of this.
Almost Christmas?
I think of that, but I think of
Shaft.
Ooh, I forgot about that movie.
Independence Day Resurgence?
That's what I think of. And I think of how he was built to be knockoff Michael B. They put him in Independence Day.
They gave him a middle initial.
Yeah, you can't just be taking that middle initial when Michael B. running around. You think you're going to be Michael B. and Jesse T.? I'm pretty sure there was probably talks behind the scenes like, yo, you play Will Smith's son in Independence Day. If this does well, maybe Bad Boys. And then you and Michael B. can be the new Martin Lawrence and Will Smith. You got Jesse T. and Michael B. and Bad Boys Forever or whatever they would want to call it at this point. Like he was being positioned, and then he failed me miserably with those expectations. Now he's rebounded somewhat decently to become his own man, but where you thought you was going, it didn't work out that way. So I don't know.
So you didn't like when he played John J.J. Shaft Jr.?
No. I mean, don't get me wrong, that movie was slightly entertaining because of Samuel L. Jackson, but nah.
He was in The Banker.
That's nice.
Samuel.
He's done a lot of movies that I haven't done. And TV shows.
He was in Dangerous Lies with Camila Mendes.
Now you got me, because you know how to tug on my Riverdale shoestrings.
Then he did Smile. As far as shows,
just The Boys. That's all we need to focus on.
Survivor's Remorse.
Oh, yeah. I'm disrespectful. That's the LeBron show I've never finished.
I have a hat of it.
I knew you was a big Survivor's Remorse fan.
Never seen it.
You probably got a house party hat, too.
I have a power hat and a stars hat, and we know the reasoning.
Nah, you got a house party hat, too, just off of sheer fandom.
He was on MacGyver.
Why wasn't Jesse D. Usher in house party?
That's what it should have been.
Yeah, he should have played the friend.
He could have carried the movie.
Would you want him to be the friend?
No, the lead, because I didn't like Jacob Lattimore.
Yeah, Jacob. You want him to be Jacob or the friend?
Jacob. Yeah, I need to get Jacob. Jacob's not a leading man. No disrespect.
All right, well, before we get super off subject.
Yeah, I don't even remember. Oh, yeah, we were talking about Smile at a psychiatric ward.
Well, I'm about to lead us. Just want to play this really quickly because we brought up Jacob Lattimore. And I want to play the new song that I heard from Jacob Lattimore that I was kind of getting a little groovy to. Let me play this. It's called Selfish. You can find it on Spotify, Apple Music.
What do you think? He's Long John Silver? Selfish?
I'm just gonna turn the music on and just act like I ain't hear that. Is the volume up? New Jacob Latt.
I don't want you to wait on me. Got the world on my shoulders and it's weighing on me. I can't, they still take from me.
So you just do these little shake your hip songs. Don't do house party.
Do you knock off Drake when Drake does his knockoff Afro beats and whatnot? Selfish. All right, that's the new Jacob Latt. Go check that out on wherever you listen to music. So he can do that instead of acting. Yeah, I wouldn't mind.
I don't want him leading no movies, no comedy. He's not a comedian.
Oh yeah, the black actor we keep forgetting to mention is my boy from Grown-ish. Why ain't he getting some work? Let him play Kang.
No, thank you. I know you ain't talking about
Aaron. Whatever his name.
Trevor Jackson.
Yeah. Not no Diggy.
I thought you were talking about Junior.
Brother? Heavens no.
Or the boy that was in Creed 3.
No.
Who has a kid with Sammy from The Circle.
Oh, whew. I thought you were going to say Sammy the singer from RSVP.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Ooh, they will not stop promoting that same song. Okay, we get it. Money's everywhere.
Trevor Jackson's due for some roles.
Let's say.
Trevor Jackson deserves to be in a Star Wars.
Something like
because he's
funny and grownish.
He grew his little braid up because of Star Wars.
For Anakin.
Give that man his role.
Yeah, put him in Rey's Star Wars. Or let him play
Kang.
Let
him play Mace Windu in a prequel. He already played a young. Oh no. Mixed him up with Jesse T. Usher.
I mean, close because he wasn't that. Superfly reboot.
Trevor, it's Trevor Jackson time. It's time for TJ.
He took a risk with Superfly, and they cut his starring roles from then on. Like, no, you will be a side character in Grown-ish until that goes
off. I typed in Trevor Jackson on Wikipedia, and that young man didn't come up.
That's disrespectful.
Did I spell it? Three other Trevor Jacksons came up. Trevor? Is he Trevor Jackson Jr.?
Right. Is he Trevor T. Jackson? Because you're lucky, I grabbed the aux again and played some more bops, because that man's album from last year wasn't bad either.
Trevor Jackson is only 26 years old.
It's time. Oh, he's young.
It's time for it's TJ time. He got three albums.
He got
an EP.
He got the height. He can probably do some decent action.
Let me see his. He got his filmography. Okay. Let's just start off. Let me find somewhere to start. Let It Shine. We'll start there.
With my boy Chris.
Or, everybody Tyler. Hates Chris.
Golden Globe Award winning.
Now you can call him Abbott. You don't have to just call him Everybody Hates Chris now.
I can call him a little a little second of, what's that show? With the vampires? Nope, not vampires. Zombies.
Zombies. Oh, Walking Dead?
Yeah, a little Walking Dead for a quick sec.
Let's see. Then he was on the pilot of Casey Undercover.
Okay, I remember that. Shout out to Zendaya, who just recently performed with Labyrinth.
Oh, yeah.
At Coachella.
Hold on. Okay, so he started. Where's his movies at?
Superfly.
Because ain't no way. I promise I've seen Trevor Jackson before or something, because he ain't got nothing in between all this stuff before Blackish and Grown-ish.
I seen him when he made that quick appearance on Blackish before he was on Grown-ish.
Yes, two episodes.
I seen him do music. I seen him on Grown-ish.
And Disney.
Disney, Superfly, and that's it.
Yep.
Maybe you seen him in your dreams?
You seen him in your dreams. Playing young blood priest. As he was in...
Oh, he was stupid.
He was in Superfly. Directed by Director X.
Yeah, from all the movies. Or videos, I'm sorry.
Let's see. The movies he directed.
Next Day Air. You know you remember that movie with Mike Epps.
They don't even have that on here.
I know he did it. I swear he did it. Who directed Next Day Air?
Let me look.
I didn't just pull that name for that movie.
It might have been the other one, Mr. Benny Boom or whatever them dudes name.
I think
name
it
is.
Was like a Benny.
Directed, because Director X only directed Across the Line, Center Stage, On Point, and Superfly.
Yeah, I think it is Benny Boom.
And then he directed a bunch of music videos, Rosalia videos, and
Benny Boom.
Let me see who directed Next Day.
The fact that I could just pull that movie
Benny Boom.
I could just pull that movie out of a hat that quickly.
All right, let's take it back to our game days.
All right.
Can you name the top five build people in Next Day Air?
Mike Epps.
In order, please.
Ooh. Okay, to top?
Yep, top to bottom. Top one to five.
I know there's somebody over Mike Epps in that movie, but I cannot for the life of me think of who it is.
I'll tell you now, you're not going to get all five.
No, I'm not going to get all five.
Because of one specific name.
I might not even get one.
If you pull this name out, maybe this person's popping.
Oh, wait. Didn't Donald Faison star in this movie?
Number one.
Okay.
Donald Faison.
Then Mike Epps.
Mike Epps.
Pacifically entertaining this?
This little, it says, Epps did not do any improvising because he wanted to show people he did not have to improv to be in a movie and to be funny and to do a good job. Anyways.
Well, we skipped over that, so.
So, Donald Faison and Mike Epps.
Was Cedric the entertainer in this?
He was not, or at least he's not billed.
Is there maybe a heftier black comedian in here that I'm maybe confusing him with?
No.
Is Faison Love in this somewhere?
No.
Most Def.
Most Def is in it, but he's not in the top five.
Okay, dang it. I feel like somebody along the lines of, not her specifically, but like a Teyana Taylor.
I can see there's someone in there who's not in the top five, but someone who's in there. All right, now you guys got to name five people that's in it. Oh, I won't make you name.
if it ain't them in the top.
I'm surprised. The production company is called Next Day Air Productions.
So they only did one movie then, because I know there was no reason for them to make more. Who else is in this movie?
The film opened number six behind Star Trek, X-Men Origins, Wolverine, Ghost of Girlfriend's Past, Obsessed, and 17 again.
Yikes.
The film grossed $10 million.
That's a lot. Who is? I cannot think of who's in this movie.
All right, so I'll give you the cast. Donald Faison,
mm-hmm.
Mike Epps,
I'm trying to think of the poster.
Wood Harris.
That's who I. Oh, I knew.
Yasmin Deliz.
Yeah, that's. Yeah, I would never got that name.
Amari Hardwick. Darius McCrary from Family Matters.
Yep.
Cisco Reyes, Emilio Riviera, Lobo Sebastian, Mos Def, Lauren London.
Yep, I remember her.
Debbie Allen.
No.
Cassidy the Hustler.
I remember that now.
Joe D. Johns and two other people I never heard of.
It's the Wood Harris one that I could not.
21% freshness on Rotten Tomatoes.
All right, well, speaking of Wood Harris, would Wood Harris have been better in Smile as the love interest, a.k.a. the boyfriend or whatever Jesse T. Usher was?
I happened to click on Wood Harris on Wikipedia, and his picture is of him doing some sort of...
All right, what they got Wood doing?
Why would this be his Wikipedia picture? This man doing, I don't know what move in basketball.
What league is he playing in?
NBA league.
What league? What league is he playing
this
in?
This has to be the celebrity league.
Who put that picture
because
up?
Because is that Matthew Lillard guarding him?
What game was this so I can go find it?
What is he doing?
Yeah, and what move? What move is he in the middle of doing? And why is that your main picture on Wikipedia?
That's ridiculous.
There probably ain't a line about him doing basketball in that whole, page.
That's crazy. Oh my gosh. Anyway, speaking of above the rim...
That man
call got, back to
that man got above the rim.
Your favorite sneakers.
And they were probably wearing some above the rims in that photo.
And he was in that movie.
All right. Well, before we veer,
he would look better with Sosie Bacon than Jesse T. Usher. Is that his name? Jesse. I feel like I forgot his name that quick.
Even though he's probably in his 60s or 50s
he's
at this
53.
Point.
He's
53. Okay.
He's 20 something years older than her.
But he looked the way he looks now is how she was looking in that movie.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Which, even though for her personally, that's not really a great thing. But for the movie.
Yeah, all stressed out, losing it. Because every time she would touch her face, like so much skin was moving.
when she started getting possessed and running into the demon on a daily basis and you didn't know who she was actually talking to that was real, what was actually going on. Boy, was she showing all that stress, and I thought she did a very good job at portraying that stressful lifestyle. I thought the movie built up the tension in those scenes and just made you feel, or tried its best to make you feel what she was going through from a stressful situation. It was like the way I was talking about, what is that movie? Bo is Afraid, how when you watch that, it's just like, I'm starting to feel a little bit too much of the anxiousness, the anxiety, the panic attacks, whatever you feel like he was going through in the movie, you felt it more on the negative end. For me, watching Smile, I felt the intensity. I felt that uneasy feeling, but in more of a good way or an entertaining way. So that's how I looked at the movie, just once you start to go into like the body of it. It did have slow moments. I won't argue those. But even within those moments, I still thought the carryover of the intense vibe that it built up just made those less than moments not feel as less than. But leading all the way up into the end now, what were your thoughts on the end of the movie? You know, you got the house, you got it burning down, her coming face to face with this demon. You actually get to see this demon in its full form.
Mm-hmm.
You get to see him literally shoving himself into her body, which was crazy.
That was funny.
He just walk in, all he sees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, his mouth.
What's going on? So what'd you think of the end of the movie?
I actually did like the ending, because at first you think it's wrapping it up and doing what they would typically do in something where she basically defeats the demon or whatever, and because she went there to be alone, to avoid people, to face the demon herself. And then the way they show it, she seems like she might have defeated this demon.
But big psych.
Yep, and then we find out that's not true, and it basically just ends with her passing that bad boy on, because there ain't no other way finally getting to her. After whatever many days.
Yep. At this point, for my horror movies, they can't end on a good note. There can't be no happy ending.
Might as well not, unless it can only end on a happy ending if the movie was different from normal horror movies.
Yeah, like it has to make sense. You can't have, like with this movie in particular, you cannot have her feeling this whole way and just think it's going to wrap up nicely. It just, I think you just lose.
Especially not like that. Even though when I saw it, because I didn't know when, this is my first time seeing it, and I didn't know, didn't see how much time was left on the movie. I was like, well, that's the end of it.
Yeah, you
can... I didn't hate it or nothing, but this, the way it ended made it, it made it better to me because it put more stakes on it. And of course, after you seeing the budget in the box office plus that ending, like, smile too.
Yeah, you know you're getting another smile. Like, I put money on that. I don't know how, I don't know when, but you're definitely going to be getting another one. But nah, yeah, I think like this movie, it had to be like that. And I just think just from an imagery standpoint, just seeing that demon try to shove his body.
Yeah, that was funny.
Lift, stretch open that jaw. I'm just going to step on in there and I'm just going to, you mine now.
Mm-hmm.
You dead. So I just thought that was a great way to finally show how these characters die. Just yeah, that yeah, he goes yeah. in and takes them over. So I just thought it was a perfect way to end it. None of that fluffy stuff. Like, nah, this movie put us through some mental hurdles. It's got to end off in a realistic way. So I thought yep. it was dope.
Killed the main character in the last yeah. few seconds. And also that guy played Bart Allen on Smallville.
And he played character A in Nightmare on Elm Street 2000 and something.
Let me see.
With Rooney Mara.
Mm-hmm.
And... person.
Hold on. Oh, yeah, yeah. 2010. That's a long time ago.
Can we get another one? Can we get another crack at this? Somebody get those rights, please, and make the movie.
That feels crazy.
I don't know why. I mean, didn't we all? It was me, you, and what's his name? I was about to say his full name.
Yeah.
We all went and saw that one night, came out. Was that when we first seen that dude in the capris? Or was that a different day?
I have no clue. That's back in the childish days where...
Well, that was something unheard of.
Like, that man had on capris.
And they were legit capris.
That's sad. Yeah, that's bad.
You didn't see that type of stuff back then.
Now that don't even sound like anything.
Right. Like, I'll be wearing capris.
That is funny.
All right, well... Okay, well... So, you talked about, you know, the thoughts in the movie... Thoughts on the beginning, got the thoughts on how it wrapped up. Definitely sounds like we'll be getting a sequel. So with all this horror talk, I want to talk about like some horror movies that we really liked and disliked. But after watching Smile, you kind of hit on this earlier, but what did this movie remind you of in terms of other horror movies? Like, where do you feel like it got what's the simple term that I'm thinking of? It's inspiration or... Where to get its ideas from?
Definitely got to be a Ring-like thing, just with it, the passing on of
mm-hmm.
the demon or whatever you want to call it. What else had that? The It Follows type of...
I see a lot of It Follows in this movie. Well, just
I feel like there was something... Wasn't there something? There was something else that had... I feel like there was another movie where like the bad thing got passed on.
I feel like that trend is starting to build up a little bit, which I'm not mad at. Just you got to
now. Now that it's already been done this many times,
yeah, and it's
time
been
to
done,
think of something else.
And it's been done well.
Yeah.
Like we've seen it from the It Follows standpoint. Like you literally could not see the demon, and when it puts itself out there, you don't know who the person is until they get close to you. But even then, the person didn't look that much different than the person that it was mimicking. So then in this one, you don't know if who you're looking at or who you're talking to is the demon until they let that smile loose. And then you're just like, all right. So we've seen it in different variations, but no, I agree. Definitely The Ring, which is another great horror movie from back in the day, 2003-ish, I believe. And then It Follows... Yeah, you could definitely see like the director, the filmmaker was watching the movies when he was writing up the script for this and getting his inspiration from the feeling that it gives. When I was a kid watching The Ring, I remember watching it with one of my cousins and she was screaming left and right every time she was or whatever scene that she was watching. Me, I was laughing at the scene where the horse was tumbling down the side of the boat. But still created like a eerie, uncomfortable feeling. It Follows. If you ask me what I think is the scariest movie, to me it's that, because when I left that theater, I steady was looking behind my back like, Somebody better not be walking up on me out of nowhere. Like, that, just the way they did that, and just, like, you're just watching a movie, and she's literally just in, like, school, and she just sees random people just start walking towards the window, or she's outside and just sees this random person just beeline in her direction, just all nonchalantly. Like, that was creepy. On top of the amazing score it follows had, I thought that's why that's up there for one of the scary movies, but definitely see a lot of those inspirations in this movie.
I want to watch that short film that Smile was based on.
Well, yeah, that'd be...
it's called Laura Hasn't Slept. I think it's on YouTube. That. It's like 11 minutes. It's about like this girl just explaining the series of dreams to her therapist about the man smiling at her.
I might have to watch that then. That's probably good. Especially 11 minutes. Shoot, after I watch that, then I'm going to turn on that serial killer documentary about your boy, King Von, and I'm going to watch all 3 hours of that if I can watch these three-hour movies.
King Von. That was an entertaining 3 hours that kind of flew by because it was all detailed, and you can't blame that director at all because all he did was show the stuff that King Von filmed, tweeted.
I just put it all together in one place.
News reports so you can nice organize, you can watch it in order.
This is an organized folder for 3 hours.
That man killed that woman and appeared in her documentary.
That's your boy.
That's
King,
sick.
King Von. But before all the Chirakians start coming at my doorstep.
I don't want them at my doorstep. Yeah, I apologize.
No, I'm good. I don't want no problem. But all right, well, talked about, you know, Smile. So want to ask you, what's a couple horror movies that made you smile when you think about them? What's some of your favorite horror movies out there that you would, if somebody asks you, like, all right, give me some, if you had a recommendation on a couple horror movies to really, like, give your feel of the type of horror movies you like. What's some of those recommendations you passing along?
Like, the first three that literally come to my mind are Conjuring, Insidious, and Sinister.
Okay. Why those three? And I just recently tried to watch Sinister again.
Because those all came at a... felt like they came at a specific time, and they were, like, good horror movies. They weren't slasher horror movies. They weren't necessarily just jump scares. And I know specifically those movies seem like they scare people that they would scare. So if I was to recommend something, that's what would come to my mind. I wasn't scared, but...
That's not what I heard. I heard you was jumping out of your tube top watching those movies.
I ain't never had a tube top on in my life.
That's not what I heard.
No, but... Martin Lawrence and Eddie Murphy.
Oh, my gosh. I had to go back so far in that bar.
I said life, and then I said their names.
Yeah, but life was such a, it was such a bad delivery. Oh, my gosh.
Bad delivery?
Don't say like an Amazon driver, because they do be delivering badly. I can't tell you how many times on my deliveries I say, go to my front door. What do they do? To my back door. I'll lock the back door gate. They'll unlock it, throw it, and then get the dogs to barking as I'm upstairs on a call. So then I got to get off the call, rush downstairs just to see that I got a package laying out there that should be laying out in the front. With the back door swinging open, because of course they couldn't lock it the right way, because you can't lock it the right way from the outside, but whatever. But all right, so those are great choices. Sinister, that's definitely one of those movies that movie just make you be feeling weird, because it might not be like the greatest horror movie to me, but the feeling, the vibe that it creates.
Tense.
Yeah, it's
like Camp Baddies.
We would definitely have that vibe tense. Like, yo, if y'all not fighting, if y'all not competing in challenges, then I don't know what you're doing.
You didn't even catch a double.
I didn't, because I'm trying to move on from it.
Tense. Like camp.
I get it.
I'm just letting you know. It was a double.
See, I said it. And
no,
I didn't
Baconator.
I didn't even say a
double. I mean, Leo, I flew out with it when I get it.
See, this is how I feel when I'm watching, like, The Sinisters and It Follows. Just uncomfortable, but
it gets intense.
It's your bars. All right, so said Insidious, said The Conjuring. Great choices.
You can go back to a Paranormal Activity, original one, but that loses its thing once you...
You want the Paranormal Activity...
the first one, not the one with any others.
I was about to say the one where You know, you could tell it was catering to a specific audience.
I never even seen the one that's on Paramount.
You don't need to see that one, because that one is by far the worst one. Talk about just throwing the term Paranormal Activity on the brand and just calling it a day. That was the only thing that was similar about that movie. But, ugh. But all right, great choices. If I had to give a couple franchise-wise, obviously, my favorite horror, I guess, if you want to call it horror, is Saw.
Saw.
From a single movie standpoint, the first one, is definitely one of my favorite horror movies.
Oh, yeah. Some of those I'll be forgetting is like horror movies.
Yeah. Pennywise is just definitely one of my favorite horror villains, if not the favorite. And then you have It Follows, which is probably my favorite horror movie of all time. And then I would definitely have to go with... I'm gonna throw a different one in there. You said Conjuring and Insidious, which I definitely would say those as well, because James Wan is probably one of my favorite, if not my favorite director. But I'm gonna go with The Conjuring 2.
Dos.
And then that one, because I was surprised that I enjoyed that one.
That one's good.
That one felt like not like an action-packed version of The Conjuring.
That's
but,
the one where I'm like, there ain't no way this is true.
Right? they went kind of OD on the true story aspect.
All kind of crazy stuff was happening.
All the villains. You had the old man.
Hanging out.
You had the crooked man.
Yep. Which I wanted a solo movie.
Right. I do got that collectible, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
That one I made my job get. Because when I saw the price tag of that, I was like, you ain't getting no purchase from me if I let them pay for it. So there would be a couple that I would throw out there. So those are the ones that made you smile, that made you tee-hee when you think about it. But what's some of the ones that make you frown? Like, what's a couple horror movies when you think about them? It just puts a bad taste in your mouth, makes you want to just delete it from
Silent
existence.
Hill Revelations a horror movie?
I definitely think it would be up there in the terms of horror, so we can definitely put that Kit Harington garbage up there.
That was bad.
Was it what is it called? Silent Hill Revelations, or
I think so. Let whatever
that garbage is called, definitely up there. Anything else come to mind as you're looking up that title?
Okay, I don't want to see the games.
Yeah, forget the games. We're talking about that trash movie that I will never forget, even though I don't remember anything about it besides Kit Harington in it. Kit Harington was doing some bad movies when he was coming out.
How come this? Silent Hill Revelation.
That movie came out. It's a trash title. This movie sucks.
Hold on.
I can tell you the year that came out. I know that specifically. 2012 or 2013.
Okay, October 2012.
Yep.
I was in college. I thought I checked out long before that.
Nope, you was there, because okay. That's when we went to go see it. I remember you got that icy from the theater, and you was like, this ain't the icy
that
from
was,
back home.
Yeah, this was all bad. I should have known. Got a nasty icy and then watched a boo-boo movie.
And then that's when we started shooting those boo-boo videos, because nobody wanted to cooperate.
You know what? Let this actress play Sue Storm in
Phantom. Yeah, who is that
Her
actress?
Name is Adelaide Clemens. She is only 33. That's kind of young for when that movie came out.
That movie killed her career off the jump.
Let me see what she's... Alright, so... Alright, so she was in X-Men Origins Wolverine as Carnival Girl. She was in...
Will.i.am was in that, too.
Yeah, he was. She was in Silent Hill Revelation, playing a dual role as Heather and Alyssa.
Nah, I don't even remember that.
She was in The Great Gatsby.
Not Leonardo DiCaprio's best work.
She was in The World Made Straight, The Automatic Hate, Rabbit, Caretaker to the Stars, The Swearing Jar. Who was in Swearing Jar? Because this was her most recent flick. No one I've ever heard of. And then as far as TV shows, she did Rectify, which came on what channel?
So she's not an actress.
Sundance TV.
She acts as a hobby.
She does a voice on Voltron Legendary Defender.
That so what does she do in real life?
5 years ago. The last thing. Oh, she's in a Hulu miniseries called Under the Banner of Heaven. Oh,
okay, so she's in that Andrew Garfield
flick. Andrew Garfield. And she's in an upcoming series, which is I'm assuming this is a spinoff of Justified.
Oh, yeah, that, yeah, I think I know what you're talking about.
She's fourth build on this Justified show, so that's okay, pretty good.
Okay, she's building it back up. Yeah, she's back. She had to do a decade of letting that stench get off of her from Silent Hill, which that's sexist because Kit Harington was able to bounce back. Luckily, he had Game of Thrones to help him.
Yeah.
But still.
Kit Harington, a.k.a. Silent Hill Revelation 3D.
Oh, yeah, that was it. They was just throwing 3D on anything.
$20 million budget. $56 million in the box
office. Too much.
Let's make a sequel.
Too
starring
much.
Starring Adelaide Clemens, Kit Harington, Sean Bean, Carrie Ann Moss.
Too much. Ugh. All right. So
that, yeah, that movie.
All right. Any other ones that come to mind as...
a bad horror movie.
Just pure stinkers that
I've never seen Slender Man.
Woo!
I never seen.
I removed that from my memory until you just said it. That's up there. Put the Bye Bye Man next to that as well.
Radha Mitchell was in this Silent Hill movie.
That's nice.
She was also in the first one, so I don't know why I said that as if she. I can't think of any other ones off the top. If someone said something, I would for sure be able to.
Yeah, bad horror movies or something. We just got put in a memory bank in like you're in the vault in the side of your brain that you just don't like to access.
Because I feel like another one came out around that Silent Hill time.
Oh, I know. Like 2010-ish era was probably popping out some boo-hoo-boo Johns. Sorry, Dana Fillion came out. It's crazy. All right. Fanforestick was kind of like a horror movie in terms of like
horrible,
horror, like a scary set. It was just nightmarish set, nightmare experience to watch. Ugh. Yeah, I don't. That's Silent Hill, and that one takes the cake. And then you said Slender Man. That's oh my gosh. That Bye Bye Man was horrible.
I'm trying to think of
them. That last Paranormal Activity was just awful.
What about? I don't remember how I felt about that Blair Witch sequel remake or whatever.
No, get that one out of here, too. Gosh, that movie sucked.
I watched that on my computer, just sitting at my desk.
I was like, no. Every year, I mean, what's that movie with, well, she is no longer she. She is now Elliot. Elliot Page, your girl.
Flatliners?
Yeah, was that a horror movie?
It was bad.
That stunk. I remember the Lazarus Effect with Donald Glover and Olivia Wilde.
Ooh, talk about movies with actors I like that I just wiped out of my mind.
Because he died early in that movie.
And I should have got up and left after that. Like, that's enough. That's who I came for.
Oh, there was some couple people walked out of Bo is Afraid. I was rolling. It would be certain scenes that would come up, and then I just hear the rustling of getting your refreshments, getting your jacket.
It wasn't that crowded where you guys say, excuse me, probably.
It was in a tiny theater, but it was jam-packed.
Dang.
And this was a Saturday matinee show at, like, noon.
That man who directed Death Note and Godzilla vs. Kong and this new Godzilla Kong movie, he's the one who directed that last Blair Witch.
He should have been ashamed of himself.
He directed that Blair Witch. They was like, we got to give him Death Note. And after he did Death Note, they gave him Godzilla vs. Kong. That's both.
This new one? I know they only played that like 40 or 50 second teaser.
Yeah.
But who is that sitting on top of that throne? Why is he sitting on top of a throne? And I just...
Why is it a completely different cast? Yeah. Don't y'all want some continuity?
Nah.
I understand why you got to get Brian Tyree Henry.
Of course.
That's just a given. You have to put him in big blockbuster movies and stuff.
That man, talk about diversifying your portfolio.
Let me pull up his filmography.
He got a decent filmography. Eternals.
It's clean. I'll just start off with, let's skip over some. No, we'll start off with Hotel Artemis.
I mean, I didn't like it. But
White Boy Rick, Widows, like. If Bill Widow's Street Could good. Talk. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Great.
Don't Let Go. Child's Play. Joker. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
The Outside Story. Mm-hmm. Super Intelligent. Mm-hmm. Godzilla vs. Kong. Mm-hmm. The Woman in the Window.
No.
Yeah.
Okay, I lied.
Eternals. he does a lot of things.
Yeah, he has known properties.
Bullet Train.
Yeah, see, he's filling himself out.
And then, of course, when you go on his TV shows, the Atlantas, the... Don't forget, he did appear on Vice Principals.
Okay. I'll give him credit because after playing a role and getting famous for a role like Paperboy, I would have thought he would have been typecasted.
Nope. I'll play anything, everything.
Because he made sure if you heard me speak in real life, I sound nothing like
that's what this makes me like his performance as Paperboy even more. Yeah. I'm like, oh, he is nothing like this. He doesn't talk like that. He doesn't behave like that. He's a little more sassy.
Yeah, he sounds like somebody I would throw in a locker. I'm tired.
And I want to see his new show.
Oh, with Kate?
Yeah. FX Hulu All-Stars. Brian Tyree Henry from Atlanta. Kate Mara from Teacher.
Oh, yeah.
A Teacher.
With your boy from your favorite movie, Big Love.
Your favorite movie and XO series. Simon. You like the series, too.
I liked the first couple seasons of the series into that last season. I sat during the pandemic like, oh, the writers must have changed because this is talking about going backwards. All right. Well, any other thoughts on Smile before we bounce on out of here?
No. It was an entertaining movie. It was worth watching, of course. So.
All right, well, one of these days, whenever we get around to a rating scale, insert rating scale here. Yeah.
But Bloods versus Wolves is a horror movie. If you want to be technical, it's got wolves, it got vampires, vampires.
It was also sci-fi a little bit.
Sci-fi, a little action gangster movie.
Yeah, I say a little gritty urban tale.
Go check out Bloods versus Wolves.
It is on Tubi for a fact.
Tubular.
So go check that out. And then when you're done watching that, go wash out that bad taste by go watching Smile. All right, well, this has been another in-depth review from the 30 Yacht Boys. It is Archibald, a.k.a. Leo 30, a.k.a. Leo Evil, Leo Rises, or the Leovenant, or Leo is Afraid, and I'm here with
Pennyworth, and I keep it pushing like a Lamaze class.
And this has been another episode of Heavy
Eyes. I would play the theme. Usually I have all the themes. Anyways.
We out.